Let's sing in our hymnal, page 210. Page 210, burdens are lifted at Calvary.
Mentioned briefly, I think it was yesterday sometime, that Brother Eddie and I, while he was here at breakfast, I believe, we were talking a little bit about some of the places we had seen in England, in London. Had the privilege to be there, I guess it's over a decade ago now. And one of the places we were talking about was a place that is referred to as the Dissenter's Graveyard. It's located in England, and just tell you quickly how I found it. I knew where it was, but I had been running around one day. My mom and dad were getting a little bit older, so you know, I said to them one day, "Listen, I'm going to see as many places as I can in one day. You're probably not going to want to go with me because I'm going to really run, and I wanted to see as many churches and cathedrals as I could." And so, one of the places that I wanted to see was the church where John Wesley preached. Wesley, famous Wesley Church, where Methodism was born as such. But something happened during the day. My watch stopped. And as I glanced down on it, I thought, oh, I got all kinds of time. I thought maybe it was in a time loop. Maybe like Joshua, you know, the sun had stood still and I was going to get everything in I wanted to. And when I got closer to the Wesleyan Church, I realized that, in fact, I was there like 5 minutes before it was scheduled to close. Of course, there, you know, some of these churches are also tourist attractions, and they're open during the day. You can go and you can see it, and they're spectacular. If you've never been there, it's a great place to go. But when I got there, I was met by one of the caretakers who takes care of the property and the building and all, and he said, oh, we're just about to close. I said, oh, that's okay, I just want to take a peek. And I just told him, just real quick, you know, I'm from America, and you know, we love the Wesleys, and we sing their hymns, and I just want to see it. He's like, okay, come on. So he took me in and proceeded to give me my own little private tour of the church. And of course, you know, then he says, would you like to stand in the pulpit where John Wesley stood? And I was like, nah, no, I didn't say that. I said, sure. And if you've ever seen it, it's high. It's very high, so that both levels could see him when he preached. This church it's got balconies. If anyone's ever been to Ocean Grove down in New Jersey, I don't know if anyone's ever been there, but the auditorium is sort of laid out like that. It's low, there's the floor, then up above there's a balcony that goes all the way around. But anyway, so I went up there, and the fellow was so nice to me and was so kind, and you know, gave me a little information here and there. And when he was done, he says, would you like to see where Wesley is buried? I said, yeah, sure. He took me out back, and there, just a little graveyard. It's surrounded by office buildings now. It's amazing to me that somebody can be sitting at work, just working, look out the window, and where's John Wesley is buried. And I think, wow, what a cool place to work, huh, Brother John? I don't know if they even care, but I cared, and it was very interesting to see. And then I moved quickly. I didn't want to, you know, take too much of an advantage of the kindness of this man. But as I left, he says, you know, and you might want to go across the street, because that's the dissenter's graveyard, where many of those who you probably know who disagreed, dissented from the Church of England, they were not allowed to be buried in the Church of England. Now in America would be the Episcopal. They weren't allowed to be buried in their burial grounds, and so they had their own cemetery. You might see a few names that you recognize. And of course I thanked them, and I had a little clue of what was over there, but you know, I went over and I just started to wander. I don't know, my wife thinks I'm a little weird. I actually kind of like cemeteries in some ways. I like to look around and look at names and just, you know, kind of let your imagination go, and you never know what you're going to find. Some famous people are buried down by us, and you know, of course, certainly loved ones and all, but it's interesting to look. I know one of our first directors here, Brother Gordon Gardner, was very partial with that. I don't know if maybe that spirit fell on me from being up at camp so much under his ministry. But anyway, so I started wandering around, and of course, there were some pretty famous names, and Brother Eddie and I were kind of throwing names back and forth. Did you see this one? Did you see that one? And a couple that you might know is, just looking there, Isaac Watts. Anybody know that name? When I survey the wondrous cross on which the Prince of Glory died. He wrote that. Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her King. He wrote that. And as I wandered, I saw him. Of course, Brother Eddie, he found some that, you know, were a little more obscure. You know, how about Joseph Swain? I'm like, wait a minute, I know that name. Oh, thou in whose presence my soul takes delight. That song we sang the other night, He Looks and 10,000. He's buried there. Well, you guys know where I'm going with this, I think. As I'm walking, I came to one of those raised sarcophaguses. You know what those are. It's sort of a raised, looks like a box almost, but it's made out of stone. And of course, you know, being nosy and not knowing when I'd get back this way ever again, I went over to take a look at it and said, let me see what this is all about. And as I looked at it, I saw a very interesting engraving in the side of this monument. As I looked at it, on one end, there was a hill. On the top of that hill was a cross. As I went, looked to the other end, there was a fellow walking in the direction of that hill, and he had a burden on his back. Big burden. Anybody know who this is? I know this is Joan or knows. So I walked around and says, well, that's one side. That's pretty cool. Let me see what's on the other side. When I came to the other side, there was that hill again with the cross. And there, having moved across the landscape, was that man kneeling at the foot of the cross. And that burden, you could see in the engraving, was rolling down the hill towards an open grave. Those of you who know that story know that that's taken from Pilgrim's Progress. When Pilgrim finally comes to the cross and his burden is loosed from off his back. Can anybody guess? Sister Min will treat you at the boathouse tomorrow if you get this right. Can anybody guess whose grave that was? Somebody wants to go to the boathouse, huh? It was John Bunyan. I was so excited to see where John Bunyan was buried. Of course, we know he's with the Lord. I know that. I'm not. But I was so excited just to have, you know, discovered this. I discovered this. I felt like Christopher Columbus. You know, I discovered the burial place of John Bunyan. But what excited me even more was to look at what was on his grave. The story of one bound by sin who had been set free. And how had he been set free? By the cross. Burdens are lifted at Calvary. And I thought, wow, what a testimony to this man, that all who see where he is buried knows that this man, just like Pilgrim, just like the man whom he wrote about and he saw in that dream when he was in that jail, he too had one day come to the cross. And all of his burdens had been released, had fallen off his back, had fallen into that grave, had been removed. They were gone. They were removed. What a testimony. What a freedom. What a liberty we have. When we come to the cross, burdens are lifted at Calvary. And you know, it is, of course, that refers first to the burden of sin. It is the burden of sin. When we come to the cross, those burdens are removed. But I'm glad that it doesn't just end there. Because, you know, there are other burdens that we carry. There are sorrows. There are sicknesses. Sometimes there are sins when we sin and we fall into sin. We give and we yield to temptation. There are all sorts of burdens that want to jump on our back. That want to jump on our back as we go through this journey. But it's marvelous that as Christians, we're going to talk more about this in a little bit of detail later on, that we have the blessed opportunity, we have the right to come to the cross. And every time we come to the cross, those burdens are removed. Those burdens are removed. It tells us in Isaiah that he bore our, not just our sins, but he bore our sorrows. He bore our sicknesses. He bore everything on that cross so that you and I wouldn't have to. He carried it so that we can be delivered of it. And he offers us tonight. What are you carrying? You carrying something? Give it to me. Let me remove it. Come to the cross. Burdens are lifted at Calvary. I don't know if anyone here is carrying any sort of a burden. I would imagine there probably are a few that are represented here tonight. Things that we're carrying. Doesn't necessarily have to be sinful, but it could be something that's just a burden that we carry. That, you know, we're just struggling under that load and not sure exactly what to do with it. Well, here's what you can do with it tonight. Do like Pilgrim did. Come to the cross. Come to the cross. Come to Jesus and let him remove that burden. Brother Paul, could we sing that chorus one more time? And let's just look to the Lord and believe tonight. And if you're not carrying a burden, have faith for someone else. Perhaps tonight the Lord wants to remove some burdens from off our backs and set us free.
Burdens are lifted at Calvary. At the cross where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day.
Yes, Lord Jesus.
Jesus, we thank you. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord Jesus, for that phrase that we sang, that Jesus is very near. We know that as we draw nigh to you, that you draw nigh to us. And we thank you tonight that as we are worshiping you, that we have come into your presence, and that you are near. We thank you for this offer tonight, Lord, and we pray that if there's anyone here tonight, or if there are many that are carrying a burden, that there's something on their back that you desire to set them free from, we ask, Lord, that tonight will be their night, that they will come to the cross and have those burdens removed. Allow you to remove the burdens that we cannot remove ourselves. We thank you for this marvelous offer. We're thankful that this offer still stands. It's still good. All the way from that day in which you hung upon the cross, the offer still stands. We ask, Lord, that we, by your grace, will come to the cross and allow you to accomplish your good work in each one of our hearts and lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
You know, these things that we talk about, that's what they're for. They're for everyday life. We heard from our sister Sarah Goransky a little bit last night. She was sharing with us down here, and she talked about that, sort of the everydayness of her experiences while she's there in China. And that's what it's for. That's what this is all about. This isn't about just when we're in church. This isn't, you know, just about those. This is for falling in the water, you know. It's for washing the dishes. It's when things get hectic or house is full of girls and they're all, you don't know when they're going to leave, right? But that's what it's for. That's what our faith is for. That's what Jesus came for. He came for every day, just those everyday activities and those things. And so I'm blessed to hear that there are those who are thinking about these things and applying what we've learned. We often refer to that as, you know, when the rubber meets the road. You know, it's one thing that, you know, in church when you're getting a blessing, but it's another thing when you're, you know, a little bit about that. Right? It's true, though. It's true. And so I commend you. And I also encourage you to keep it up. Keep it up. Keep seeking the Lord. Keep thinking about these things, applying the things that we learn, because that's what makes this real. That's what makes this whole thing real. Before we go into the Word of God for just a little bit, can we just sing one more song that's a little bit related to what we've been singing? It's page 36 in our white book. It's called A Clean Heart. We used to sing this song a lot in our church, sing the chorus, but I was glad that it was put in the camp book, so now we know a little bit of what the verses say too. So let's sing it together, shall we? Page 36, A Clean Heart. It's a prayer. Pay attention to the words.
One thing I